radio. You call that radio. This is the news on You Call That Radio. But how are you actually supposed to do the news these days? Wait, how are you supposed to cover it? Everything's a breaking story. And by the time you take in the information and you come to an opinion, the news changes again. Today, I was about to do a thing talking about the projections, about the giant projections, the giant photograph of Trump and Epstein outside Windsor Castle, from led by donkeys. I was going to talk about the big advertising board that was on a car and how journalists were questioned, detained and then released. So I was just going to do it, and it was going to be upbeat because I was going to say it's good to see people are getting bammed up again. And I was going to say, you know, that was good. That was quite positive. I liked that. But then I sort of fell down the rabbit hole of watching Trump and Charles, Melania and Camilla with their big hats on, watching horses doing, you know, going clippity-clop, dressage horses, people in hats, pomp, ceremony, and utter bullshit. And I just was watching it, thinking, what is this? What does the rest of the world think about this? Because I'm on this island, and it's just arseholes in castles, war criminals and sex criminals all coming together to compare Rolexes. Just fake nonsense. And then I was going to talk about that, and I was like, well, why am I even talking about that? You know, the president, he's the president again, and he's came to the UK to just boast about how he's the only president ever get two state visits. I can't talk about that anymore. I can't talk about it. I woke up in a good mood when I seen the projection screens, and I'm like, what is that achieved? It's good to see people getting bammed up again, but the president still gets his wee sleepover in a castle, his favourite castle, the greatest castle of all time. He still gets his ego stroked by a king. What century are we in? What century is this? I don't want to talk about that much anymore. It just feels like by being a dick and trying to put tariffs up, he managed to get a big fancy dinner, which means a lot to him for whatever reason. To me, it just seems like a shite party for shite people. Bland music, fake chat, just everyone pretending that they like each other when they clearly don't. And what is it all for? You know what, it's getting late now. I should probably just wait, because everything's always a breaking news story, so by the time I do this, it's already changed, because my prediction is that it will still rip Starmer off and make him pay tariffs. That's what I would predict will happen now. The tariffs are important to me personally because I just had to go to the post office 2 days ago to send a vinyl to America. And it cost 40 quid. £40 postage and packaging. I think I only charged £8. So I'm just posting £30 while Starmer make a deal so that vinyl won't cost me £50 to send a vinyl. Will that change? I know that they won't even mention it. I think he's after the steel industry, and I know that the steel industry is more important to the media. But I mean, I've not done the maths, but why does nobody ever think about the amount of money that the music industry brings into the UK? Why does nobody ever talk about the nighttime economy? Why do you think people visit places like London and Manchester and Glasgow? Why are people going there? They're not going there for the weather. And an argument you hear a lot from royalists is that the royal family brings in a lot of tourism. The people that say that are also the same people that don't like foreigners. And I can guarantee you, if Buckingham Palace and Windsor Castle were just open to the public, you'd get even more tourists. This stuff is over. The Queen is dead. Let's just move on. The only people who enjoy the pomp and ceremony are people like Donald Trump, dictators, royal correspondents, and the British equivalent of the people that believe in the American dream. This shouldn't make you proud. This is a shameful parade of gluttony and corruption as the rest of the country starves. I want to commend Led by Donkeys. That was a piece of art today. I liked that. It put me in a good mood for a wee while, and then I just watched Royal Correspondents just chirping away endlessly, calling Donald Trump a well-renowned Anglophile and trying to not mess their words up. The one thing that sort of stands out today as well is someone actually changed their mind on the internet today, which I haven't actually seen happen for about 10 years. It was about something inconsequential, but the reason it's important, I'll tell you in a second why, because it made me almost do the same. But It was an Eminem, it was an old Eminem song, some sort of meme. I think it was Biff Tanner, who ironically was supposed to be based in Donald Trump, who became president in Back to the Future, which is a weird thing, but we'll go into that another time. But there was this, it was an Eminem video, and somebody went, "I loved it back in the day when nobody got offended." And I was like, that's not the case. I grew up when Eminem's albums came out, and people were offended all the time about things Eminem said. In fact, the second album was basically Eminem talking about how he doesn't care if you're offended. He's going to do what he wants anyway because he just doesn't give a and all that. So when I said that, the person went, "No, you're right." The person actually went, "You're actually right. People did get offended. But at least I liked it then because at least artists trolled us," or something like that. I can't remember. I didn't really agree with the person because I think in general we disagree, because the point they were trying to make is the old days people didn't get offended. Which isn't really true if you know the history of censorship and Mary Whitehouse era and stuff like that. But I just thought I was just stunned that that person would actually just go, "Do you know what? You're right. People did get offended." And just corrected himself. And that doesn't happen anymore on the internet. And then just about an hour ago, I think I shared I'd shared on You Call That Radio's Facebook page one of the big photographs, the giant photographs of Donald Trump with his good friend Jeffrey Epstein. And somebody commented saying, it's the liberal way of talking about the Epstein files to distract from the fact that they're war criminals. And obviously, it's an American, because the way that they're using the word liberal, you can tell that they're American. But I wasn't expecting the caveat of they're war criminals, why are we not focusing on the fact that they're war criminals? And it's genuinely left me a bit stumped. There is, Trump and Starmer and Netanyahu are committing genocide, live stream genocide on a mass scale. And yet, we're talking about the Epstein files and he's talking about how he's painting the ballroom in the Oval Office and it's going to be a great ballroom. But let's end this topic on a slightly brighter note. What did Prince Andrew do today? He actually lives in Windsor Castle. What was he doing? Well, everybody's watching the parade and having a big fancy dinner. Is he being banished to the dungeon to eat a pot noodle until the Americans leave? It just sounds like a scene out of Fawlty Towers. Oh, don't let him go. Don't let the president go in there, Prince Andrew. Don't go right because there's a big projection of him and Jeffrey. We can't let him see the truth. It's the Emperor's New Clothes, live streamed in real time. And it's shameful that the BBC and Sky News and all these people are somehow trying to make us feel proud. I don't feel proud. I'm ashamed of the UK today. And that's all I want to say. This is the news on You Call That Radio. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. And if you want to hear the rest of the show, then just search You Call That Radio on Apple, Spotify, or any podcast app. If you're already listening to the audio podcast, then do nothing. We'll just move on to the next thing. Radio. You call that radio. Just remember, I don't write the news. I wish I did. Maybe after this bit, I'll write the news. I'll do something about the Ibiza final boss or something. But what? Or something hopeful. Maybe do something hopeful. What could be more seductive than a big slice of hope? A slice of hope when you're starving for change and all there is to eat is a daily diet of normalised hate and parasocial friendships with billionaires. Elon Musk is not going to let you on his rocket ship, pal. A couple of weeks ago, there was an announcement of hope. Corbyn was getting the gang back together, an actual collection of real leftists. We had time to be cautiously optimistic. In fact, I was going to share with you on the audio podcast about how I ended up on stage with Corbyn and how he seemed to be saying all the right things. And apart from some reservations about how long it seemed to be getting to set it up for the official launch, it seemed like there could be finally an alternative to Labour, who are so Tory now that the actual Tories can't Tory enough to keep up with the Labour Tories. Tories who hate Labour, despite the fact the Labour are too Tory for Tories, are now sort of glancing to the right as Nigel Farage manically laughs at the next urinal. SNP are out of ideas, Greens seem out of touch with the working class, and I don't even know if the Lib Dems still exist or anything. Not really heard of them. And the only person, you know, in this divided land, the only person that can unite the left and the right is Keir Starmer, as everybody has a universal disdain of the never-ending shit show that he now orchestrates. So as it stands, we're all agreed that we want change. And sadly, as it stands, the vast majority of people are going to choose reform. well, probably not the vast majority. A lot of people just won't vote the way it stands as well. And the people that choose reform and choose racism will win. And that's despite Nigel's horrific record of being wrong about everything, all the time, and just always getting on news night, always getting on the headlines, always on the news, and has been for over a decade now. And the only one that ever benefits from him and his decisions is his billionaire pay lords. Name one policy that doesn't mention boats, and you can't. Point out the fact that Brexit has made immigration much worse than it was, and they'll just tell you that Brexit didn't Brexit enough, or something like that. And then today, there is a split in Corbyn's Your Party before they even launch. Zara Sultana has allegedly asked for donations using the Your Party mailing list. And Corbyn's team said they were seeking legal action, that she didn't have permission to do so, or something like that. It's still quite early on, it's just breaking news just now. Zara's called Corbyn's side a sexist boy club, and they're just sort of throwing shit at each other just now. I don't know enough information to know who's in the right, who's in the wrong. But Corbyn's side is insinuating that she took money from the supporters under false pretenses, and she's calling them sexist. So it's a disaster. It's another disaster on the left. And this is before the official launch. It's broke up. They broke up. They're in two. It looks like there's going to be two different parties now. And this is going to be jumped on by the BBC, the Daily Mail and everything. Because this is what they've been waiting for. I don't know how many people signed up. I think it was something like 700,000. So it was actually, it was looking good. But you can't have hope for too long. Not these days. So it's going to be jumped on by the media, which is owned by a couple of billionaires, and it's not in their interest to be taxed more. It's in their interest for everyone to fight for the scraps and blame everything on immigration. And never ever austerity, funnily enough. Tax breaks for the rich, austerity for the poor. Austerity, which is a fancy name for theft. Now, I just hope that both sides, whether it's Zara, Corbyn, whatever, I just hope they can get their act together, because nothing short of a strong and thoughtful alliance between those who oppose fascism will work. Otherwise, the next Prime Minister will be Nigel Farage, who's basically Jeremy Clarkson on wheels. And I've just saw Jeremy Kyle is considering running as a Reform MP, and that says it all. If Jeremy Kyle can get into Parliament, it'll be one of those sick-to-the-stomach feelings again. And we're just surrounded by fake news, protest arrests, AI-generated images, secret algorithms, billionaire lobbyists, all of that will make Nigel Farage the next Prime Minister, unless a pact, an alliance of some people with some ideas gets together. But there's still time, so let's just hope this can get sorted out. But it's not a good start. It's not a good start. And then, you know, when Farage gets in, all he'll do is just blame the previous government, as they always do, and just demand that what everyone needs to do is get more racist. And then all that is left in the ashes is flags. That's all you'll have is flags. This is the news on You Call That Radio. I'm going to share my thoughts on the immediate aftermath of the charity gig where we ended up sharing a stage with Jeremy Corbyn, and let you know what I thought about that. And then we'll move on to something a bit lighter. about the Ibiza final, boss. Hit the subscribe button if you're on YouTube, and if you're in the podcast, leave a rating if you can. My band played a gig with Jeremy Corbyn the other night, and as expected, it got some extremely mixed reactions online, ranging from shock and joy to rage and hate. And I just want to give some context to the reasons that we played the show, my thoughts on a potential new party on the left through the lens of Scottish independence, and also just break down some of the wacky things people have said online about the clip I just shared. Now, I'm going to show you a clip just now, but just to put things into perspective, I don't use TikTok. I think I've got about 200 followers, rarely ever get even one comment, and within seconds of sharing this clip, it started going mad. You know, I think I had nearly 300 comments in a few hours, either from a bot farm or people so obsessed with Jeremy Corbyn that they're actively searching his name in real time so that they can tell everyone that they hate him. So either that or they're organised in a group. But let's find out. Let's watch the clip to see what it was. What was it he said that made them so angry? What was the thing that he said in the short 7-second clip that caused everyone to go mad?
The next band we've got coming up, they're getting set up at the moment, the Jara Babies. Woo! Now, in a sense, I'm just discussing that. They are the updated version of UB40.
So all Corbyn said was that the Gyro Babies are like an updated version of UB40, which I'm sure he meant in the sense of unemployment checks. For those who don't know, Gyros replaced UB40s, which is now universal credit for anyone too young, too rich, or too far away from the UK to understand, as I don't think he was comparing us musically. So this is an actual, factual statement of truth that he's just said there. And now let's look at how TikTok reacted within seconds, and why this is actually a very serious matter that needs to be thought about carefully if you don't want Nigel Farage to be your next Prime Minister. Now, I'm going to put on the screen just now some of the many, many narratives and talking points the right wing keep repeating on the screen. If you're listening to the audio podcast version of You Call That Radio, then I'll just summarise it. The more pleasant ones range from calling him a communist traitor, they're saying he's a joke who won't get any votes. Some are taking the immigration angle. Others are saying, with glee in a smug way, that he'll split the vote. One says that he's as unpopular as Starmer. Now, let's just clarify that nobody is as unpopular as Starmer is right now. I think that's the only thing that the right and the left can coherently agree on, that Starmer is shite and stands for absolutely nothing. So, but yeah, why is this important? Well, it just seems to me it's quite clear that the fash is getting a wee bit rattled. As it stands, Farage will beat Starmer in a landslide because Starmer is copying Reform's homework while still ridiculously pretending he's somehow left-wing as he helps Israel commit genocide and ramps up austerity while arresting protesters and kissing Donald Trump's arse. Meanwhile, the SNP's popularity has fell off a cliff, especially since the John Swinney said that kneecaps shouldn't play transmit. So, at the minute, independence feels like a pipe dream just now. There's definitely space for a new left-wing party, especially if they can work alongside the very few politicians who aren't already compromised. But whether this is a bot farm or real people, all I know is that it's organised. It's very organised mudslinging that happens within seconds of Jeremy Corbyn's name being spoken. And it's something that can only be defeated by people challenging the stupidity of blaming everything on immigration. We've been talking about this since, I mean, I think going back, I can remember the Miller Band, when Miller Band was on, and we were always talking about immigration. We have been talking about immigration for decades now, and we never ever talk about class or why the reason that why we're in this mess, what is going on. We never ever speak about it. Farage wants people to pay for the NHS. He wants tax cuts for the super wealthy, and he wants to take your pension. So as soon as anyone mentions immigration, just ask, what else does Farage and Reform stand for? He's also lied about Brexit. For all the racists out there, he said that Brexit would stop immigration, and now he's saying that immigration's never been any worse. It was also him that made a pact with Boris so that Tories beat Corbyn previously. And now he wants the keys to number 10. He blatantly fans the flames of fascism in order to please his billionaire bosses. And I remain pro-independence, and I said as much during the gig. You know, I wore a Scotland top and said that I'm anti-genocide, I'm anti-austerity, pro-independence, but pro-Jeremy Corbyn. Now, I'm not in any way associating myself with a party that doesn't even exist yet. The show that I played was booked months ago as part of a Music for the Many charity gig that gives free music lessons and free instruments to people in poverty. It also looks at saving independent venues and things like that. So, it's considering the grassroots of the music industry is completely in disarray at the minute. I was there to support that. But then after that, this new party has been flouted, touted. I don't see Corbyn being the leader of the new party either, but I think it'd be an excellent addition to it. I think whether that would be as an advisor or as a foreign minister or something like that, I think he's been the correct side of history. His entire life, his voting record speaks volumes. And he seems like a genuinely humble guy. I met him very briefly, but he seemed sound. And he's had to deal with vicious attacks from every side of the media, as well as backstabbing from his own party in the past. And just look at the absolute state of Trump's America, which will probably get even worse under J.D. Vance once he pops his clogs. And sadly, blaming immigrants just seems to work. It seems to be a vote winner because it's subject to non-stop propaganda from mainstream television to social media. We never discuss class. We never discuss tax avoidance. We never discuss corporate greed. We never discuss why the credit crunch actually happened. We avoid the wars and the genocide, despite the fact they unfold before our eyes. The Epstein file seems to be the only thing that just they can't seem to move past right now. But it's just time to call out misinformation whenever we see it and put the attention back on to the bankers, the warmongers, the elites, and, everything Jeremy Corbyn said on Friday night, I think that the majority of people would agree with. So, but whether your party can succeed is another matter entirely. It seems to be unfolding far too slowly, in my opinion. In an ideal world, there would be no political parties. You just vote for an independent candidate who doesn't have a team to support. Parties in general have always just seemed to me that they're just blinded by their own hypocrisy. You know, they always say things like, let's wait till we find out all the information. If their guy's involved in a scandal, but then when the other guy's involved in a scandal, they demand that they resign. So I've just never really supported any political party. In an ideal world, I believe in Scottish independence. And I think that would work well alongside a left-leaning party in Westminster, rather deal with them than a con man like Farage, whose claim to fame is being pals with President Trump, who was pals with Jeffrey Epstein. So now's a time for a backlash against all this racist propaganda. Let's focus on the people in charge who make the decisions to make our lives worse. We've tried the whole Tory racist austerity thing for too long now, and that includes Starmer. Time for fresh ideas, and the fact that 300 right-wing bots and trolls are commenting on a page with no followers within seconds shows me the establishment do fear Corbyn. So thank you to everyone who said something mean or childish about Corbyn. I think you've convinced me that this could be the way forward. You've been watching or listening to the news on You Call That Radio. Like, subscribe, leave a comment, especially if you're a bot. Absolutely gutted to find out that the crypto coin of the Ibiza final boss has dropped right down the crypto charts, 99% down. So if you invested in the Ibiza final boss cryptocurrency, then it's not looking good. It's not looking good. It's not looking good for our investment. I invested everything I had in the Ibiza final boss cryptocurrency. And for what? To have the rug pulled from under us. It seemed like such a defo, a sure bet, a certainty that this crypto coin would overtake cash. I'm talking the dollar, the euro, the sterling, pound. I just thought we were just going to start paying for everything with Ibiza final boss cryptocurrency. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How do we get the money back? How are we going to get our money back? I feel stupid. It's no like me to invest in things like this, but I had a good feeling about this. I've never ever done anything like this before. Well, not since the Hawk 2 coin. And that was just unlucky. I thought that one was just unlucky, but I had a really good feeling about the Ibiza final boss cryptocurrency replacing cash. Because that's why we invest in these cryptocurrencies, isn't it? Because we think this will replace cash one day. I'm sick of paying for things with cash. I'm sick of paying for things with card. I'm sick of paying for things on my phone. I'm what I really want is some sort of digital coin that I can only access through a laptop and 5 passwords. And when, you know, I did see that I did have some issues. I have had some issues with, it's not the first. The writing was on the wall. I did try and buy some stuff from the shop the other day with Ibiza Final Boss cryptocurrency, and they said they didn't take the Ibiza Final Boss cryptocurrency. And I just thought Tesco was just being too old school. I thought, well, you know, that's a mainstream. They're a mainstream supermarket. So I tried my local shop because he's a bit more underground and he wouldn't take it either. So I've been having problems trying to purchase things with my Ibiza Final Boss cryptocurrency as it exists only my laptop that takes me 5 passwords. And it's one of the passwords that I've got to use these days. I've got so many passwords. And then you've got to authenticate it with your phone, and then authenticate it with your email. And every password's different. And we don't just use any password anymore. We're talking Wi-Fi router passwords that you get in Mexico, or India, or Greece. We're talking caps lock on, caps lock off, number, 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 caps lock, caps off, number, 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 triangle, square, shapes. Just got to keep your... I've just been trying to keep my Final Boss cryptocurrency safe. And the only way to do that is by having rigorous passwords so that nobody steals your Ibiza Final Boss cryptocurrency. And now, it looks like the dream is over. The Lego haircut doesn't make me smile today. Today I'm not smiling at the Lego haircut. Today I feel like I've been bumped. I think we all just get together and sue the Final Boss. Maybe we should all just chip in for a trip to Ibiza. Kiki Squinton. This is the news on You Call That Radio. And today, we're just watching a video of what actually happened at the Victorious Festival in Portsmouth, with an incident involving a brilliant Irish folk band called the Mary Wallopers. Victorious Festival cut the band's set a few seconds into their first song. The reason that they gave on social media was that the band started an offensive chant, but the band have uploaded proof that that was a complete fabrication. The real reason was they simply had a Palestine flag over an amp at the back of the stage. They're now claiming, the festival's now claiming that they've actually banned all flags, and they have done for many years, and they apologise for not communicating that properly ahead of time. So, but they've just shared a picture on social media that promotes the festival with an assortment of flags in the crowd. So that's obviously a lot of bullshit. It's not true. So that's two lies they've told now. Now, the real reason is obviously much darker. The festival is owned by KKR, who own over 80 festivals across Europe, and they're a company that also invests in military tech that is directly linked to the genocide of innocent Palestine civilians. Last week, Starmer arrested over 500 pensioners for protesting genocide, and today we see a festival snatching a flag and snatching the right for artists to show solidarity to people who are going through a man-made famine on top of some of the worst atrocities I've witnessed in my lifetime anyway. Now, since this happened, the Last Dinner Party have also cancelled their slot at the festival, meaning that not only is freedom of speech been banned at Victorious Festival, but they're literally robbing fans who paid £300 to see two of their favourite artists. I would be requesting a refund if I was a ticket buyer, because there's no excuse for this shitty behaviour. Even though the festival has made two excuses, both of which were undeniably false. And we're also witnessing the Barbra Streisand effect in real time. By trying to silence one flag, we now have a massive news story that everybody's talking about all across the world. So that has backfired. There is also no more excuses for any artist with a conscience to support any festivals ran by Superstruct Entertainment that was bought out by KKR. And that includes Tramlines Festival in Sheffield. We were actually doing Sheffield a couple of weeks ago, playing an anti-Tramlines Festival that happened at the same time. That they also own Field Day, Mighty Hoopla, Why Not Festival, Blue Dot, Victorious Festival, Boardmasters, NAS Festival, Kendall Collin, Truck Festival, and South West 4. And then there's a lot of European festivals as well. Now, there's plenty of independent festivals that don't rely on blood money to support and perform at, so go to one of them instead. If you don't want politics at festivals, or you've not got a conscience, then you can still go to them. But if you want. I want my artists to express themselves however they want. If I don't agree with a band at a festival, then I don't need to watch that particular band. I can go to another stage. But for the last 6 years, the Mary Wallopers have always flown a Palestine flag. I've seen them play the Barrowlands a few times. They did not start an offensive chant. And the flag ban is obviously a terrible PR stunt designed to cause damage limitation, and it's backfiring spectacularly, and rightly so. So shout-outs to the Mary Wallopers, who stuck to their guns and refused to play without the flag. Shout-outs to the Last Dinner Party for showing solidarity. And shame on the crew who grabbed the flag, cut the sound, and tried to spin their way out of it. And yeah, there's the only way that these festivals can be continued to supported is if KKR immediately stops investing in death machines over in Israel, or someone else buys out Superstruct Entertainment, who doesn't have nefarious links, but, you know, who's going to be able to afford that? You don't get to the top by being nice. Nobody makes $1 billion by helping old ladies across the road. But how much money do you people need? Can you not just stay away from music festivals and streaming sites or streaming people? Why do you always need to invest in war? That is not what music's about. That is not what festivals are about. So, yeah, let me know what you think in the comments. But, yeah, proud of Mary Wallopers for sticking to their guns. And, yeah, fuck KKR.
I got you.
I
got you. Ready? Yeah, 1-2. 1-2, 1-2. Yo, this is Charlie Tuna from Jurassic 5 Live and direct here in Glasgow, Scotland. And you call that radio?